Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's presentation. Each session is dedicated to learning something from the Word of God. As is often the case, we begin with a question. Here is the question for today. Is God real? So many answers to this question are offered these days. But what is the true answer? Is God real? Does He truly exist? This is a great and important question. If there is indeed a higher being, we would expect to find some supporting evidence. Is there any proof of His existence? Skepticism has become widespread, but this prevalence is not because of a lack of evidence. Evidence for God's existence has not diminished, but mankind has become increasingly enamored with his own ingenuity. Over the past few decades, technological achievements have given some an overinflated view of man's cleverness. Let's go back in time for a moment and learn of an elitist attitude that some had. Then we will be in a better position to recognize a similar mindset that is so prevalent today. Ancient Greece in the first century was a famous center for learning and philosophy. Some of the brightest minds, it seems, enjoyed their academic prowess. The Apostle Paul had opportunity to stand before a gathering of these upper crust of the highly educated. Here are the words of Acts 17 and verse 18. "And certain of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, 'What would this babbler say?' Others, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached Jesus and the resurrection.'" Note, please, their attitude. Some disdained Paul, calling him a babbler. They considered Paul's knowledge inferior to their own. We have the luxury of looking back at this historical scene and realize that in all actuality, they were the ignorant ones, who were believers in a multitude of gods, many represented by statues and idols. But in that day, they considered themselves knowledgeable. So also similarly today, there are some who fancy themselves as the intellectual elite, who look down on others, especially those who profess to be religious. Please follow me as I share this illustration, sort of an allegory to depict the vanity of many in our present society. Consider the scene of a teenager who proudly looks down from his makeshift tree fort. He has constructed it crudely from scrap 2x4s. On the ground below, his little brother plays with his toys and looks up admiringly at his big brother's creation. On this Saturday, however, his father, a construction worker himself, looks out the window of the house, observing both his sons. So in summary, think about the scene. A little boy on the ground playing in the dirt, the older brother, the teenager, in his tree fort looking down on his little brother, while the father looks out the window at both of them. In this allegory, the teenager would represent modern-day scientists and inventors, thinking themselves to be so clever with what they've done and made and invented. His treehouse creation was impressive to his little brother, but would pale in comparison to the high-rise buildings his father erects. It's a matter of perspective. Modern man builds rockets and sends them into space. We place satellites into orbit. Well, well, isn't man so clever and ingenious? But how does that compare to the placement of the sun and the earth into their orbit? It is far easy to look at what we do for ourselves, but to compare human achievement with the designs of God, what a contrast. Some men of human genius and ingenuity have designed and built impressive structures. Yet all of these are child's play things compared to the creator of this vast universe. So let's turn our focus upon the truly fascinating evidence. There is a scientific principle known as cause and effect. Simply stated, whenever there is an effect, there must be an adequate cause. If you go to your mailbox, which yesterday was empty, and you go there and there are letters inside, what can you deduce? Someone put them there. Another example, if a locomotive train is traveling fast on the train tracks and hits a fly with its windshield, will the train be derailed? Obviously not. Hitting a fly would not be an adequate cause to cause a derailment. So also, as we look at our universe with all of its intertwining systems, we observe the sun, the moon, the stars. We examine the thousands and thousands of creatures on our own planet Earth. This world and all we see around us is hard evidence. Yet we ask, hard evidence of what? How can the existence of the universe be explained? Let's logically present some possibilities. Here are three theoretical possibilities. First, our universe has always existed. Second possibility, it created itself. And third, it was created. So with these three hypothetical possibilities before us, let's examine one or more of these one by one. So first up, let's consider the possibility that the universe has always existed. Does evidence point to the universe being eternal? Actually, no. The second law of thermodynamics is called upon for help. In the realm of science, a law is achieved basically when, after long and extended testing and evaluation, a repeatable and dependable result occurs. The most famous scientific law is gravity. No matter how many times you release an object, when it is within the force of a gravitational pull, it will fall. The law of gravity is no longer considered speculative. But so also, the second law of thermodynamics has achieved law status. In simplified terms, this law states that everything is running down. For example, our sun is burning up. Like licking a lollipop, it keeps getting smaller. Such depletion makes it obvious that the candy cannot last indefinitely. The universe shows signs in keeping with this law, this second law of thermodynamics. Any system that is running down, moving toward randomness, is obviously not eternal. Our universe displays the obvious evidence of the second law of thermodynamics. Therefore, the universe cannot be eternal. So from a logical viewpoint, we must dismiss this first hypothetical option. Well, what about option number two? Could the universe create itself? According to science, something cannot come from nothing. Sounds obvious. Science deals with observation and experimentation. So, is it reasonable to think that the universe created itself? In an effort to escape acceptance of the final option, we'll get to that later, some scientists have tried to make this option sound viable. That is, they're trying to make it sound viable that the universe created itself. Can you imagine trying to talk folks into believing that something came from nothing? Some scientists actually propose theories that something came from nothing. However, they couch the proposal in high-sounding terminology. One example is the phrase spontaneous generation. Now, if you leave oily rags together, you might get spontaneous combustion. But this requires first the existence of both oil and the rags. However, the term generation in the phrase spontaneous generation is referring to something being generated or coming into existence that was not there previously. No matter how you slice it or what you call it, you cannot get something to appear from nothing. It is absurd to suggest the universe was self-created. Because another law that deserves our attention right here is the law of biogenesis. The law of biogenesis. In simple form, it may be stated that in nature, life comes from life. Does that sound obvious? Is it scientifically observable and testable? Life does not come from non-life. Our world is full of both living and non-living matter. There is no evidence in nature that life has been produced from something inanimate. It is quite revealing that some have opted to propose a theory in opposition to the law of biogenesis rather than to accept the only logical and truly scientific option, that is, that the world had a designer and maker. So far, we have ruled out, therefore, two hypothetical possibilities. Our world has signs indicating it had a beginning. Therefore, it is not eternal. And the world did not create itself. Therefore, we are left with only one possible explanation. Our world was made. Listen carefully to this verse from Romans chapter 1. In verse number 20. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Let's break that verse down into smaller components. There is mention of the invisible things in Romans 1:20. These invisible things are God's everlasting power and divinity. We cannot see God. To put it another way, we cannot visually see God's godness. Neither do we see raw power. However, these attributes of God, his power, his godness, or his divinity, are clearly seen, listen, through the things that are made. We cannot see God, but we can see the things he has made. When we see what he has made, we can deduce his power and ability. And the verse ends by saying, quote, that they may be without excuse, end quote. By looking at the world around us, there is no excuse for not knowing that there is a powerful maker. Return for a moment to Paul in ancient Athens. He was ridiculed by the philosophers of that day. They considered themselves as wise as they held on to their superstitions and gave sacrifices to dumb idols. Today we have many intellectuals who consider it babble to speak of a creator, and yet the options that they are proposing are truly more than mere babble. Here is a verse fitting for us to include, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. Any truly scientific investigation reveals extraordinary complexity and order in the world all around us. This design cannot be adequately explained by chance or unintelligent forces. For a specific example, take mankind. Think of the human family. A single human being can serve as our specimen. It is unintelligent to suggest that intelligent man came from some unintelligent source. We shall now add another line of evidence on top of our ever-mounting mountain of evidence. Our Bibles open with a detailed description of the progressive creative activity of God. Over and over in the first chapter of the Bible, we read that various items were able to reproduce, quote, after their kind, end quote. For example, look in your Bible at Genesis chapter 1, verse number 11. Herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit, wherein is the seed thereof after their kind. It also speaks of the aquatic creatures, quote, after their kind, and every winged bird after their kind, end quote. Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. Since the creation, this order has been consistent. It is scientifically accurate and testable. Each creature is able to reproduce after its kind. Birds produce bird babies. Fish produce other fish. And humans reproduce human offspring. The fatal flaw of the evolutionary theory is to suggest that creatures can produce new creatures of a different kind. Such has never been seen or documented in nature, ever. Is there variation and change within kind? Yes. There are different kinds of dogs, and we may interbreed to produce some interesting variations. And also in the plant kingdom, we may perform crossbreeding. But if the alteration survives, it will still be a plant. Listen to this reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fishes. It has become commonplace to hear about the missing link in the evolutionary scenario. However, the reality is this. There is not only one missing link, but actually no links are to be found. There are missing links, plural. Everything has been producing after its kind. Skeletons can be properly classified as either human or animal. Has there actually been found any evidence of something half human and half ape? I believe the average person on the street might say, well, of course, isn't there? But it is elusive, this missing link. The Bible continues to receive attacks from all sides. It is disdained as an antiquated and obsolete volume, yet it still quietly holds forth truths that still fit the facts of true scientific investigation. If you are interested in digging deeper into these matters of apologetics and evidences, we recommend you visit the website apologeticspress.org. That is apologeticspress.org. Another matter to place upon our pile of mounting evidence is the scientific and universally recognized distinction between mankind and all other creatures. Think about it. How truly different humans are from all other creatures. Let's begin with a broad view, then move in closer. From first glance, we recognize the extreme differences between humans and all other creatures. The mere fact that we are discussing this subject is indicative of the thoughtfulness of mankind. Can you picture a chimpanzee sitting and contemplating where he came from and the origin of life? Well, such is the stuff of cartoons. Various creatures interact by use of sounds or calls and body language. It is true. Animals communicate primitively and rudimentary in various ways. But the chasm is wide between those forms of communication and human verbal expression. Even children of a few years of age are able to communicate at a high level compared to animals. Listen to the writing of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. As we advance, we are able to convey more precisely our feelings and express our thoughts more accurately. We can even differentiate between feelings of discouragement and those of disappointment. We can describe the difference in words. The scriptures reveal that humans were endowed from the beginning with linguistic ability. Adam and Eve were able to talk to their creator. Unlike the fictitious grunts of cavemen that we're supposed to believe in, the first human couple had the capacity for intelligent speech. During the initial period of human history, Genesis chapter 11 verse 1 indicates the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. In the Hebrew language, this verse actually has all people being of one lip and one words. This likely indicates that there was one pronunciation and one set of vocabulary words. Due to rebellion, however, God confounded the languages of the language of all the earth, Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 9. From that time onward, various languages were spoken. But God also endowed mankind with a unique ability to reason. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "Come now and let us reason together, saith Jehovah," Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Here God calls upon his people to reason with him. Most importantly of all, the distinguishing characteristic that separates man from the animal world is the human soul. Every human being is given an eternal, non-physical component. Zechariah wrote these words, "Thus saith Jehovah, who stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. James also addresses the fact that each person has a spirit. "For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead." James chapter 2, verse 26. Every living human being has the combined elements of body and spirit. when we honestly evaluate and contrast the uniqueness of humankind with any other creature on earth, the difference is stark. The postulated explanation that humans are simply more evolved than other creatures does not fit the observable facts. Humans are completely different. It is so obvious that the entire collection of animals is in one category compared to human beings in another grouping. Can the evolutionary theory that postulates that humans are simply more evolved than other creatures adequately explain how we left other creatures so far behind? If the gradual change theory were true, then we would not expect to see humans so extremely far beyond other organisms. David, the psalmist, wrote these words long ago. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14, verse 1. The same true rings true today as it did 3,000 years ago. Today's lesson is entitled, Our God, He is Alive. We challenge you to look at the evidence.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.